From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the January 31st edition of the Closing Market Report 2014. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Ben Pruce of the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility will be along to look at the cash grain market. We'll hear from Ed Kieser and the weather forecast for South America, how the crops are progressing there. And along the way today, Jonathan Coppas will take us part of the way through the new farm bill as it has passed through the House of Representatives in the United States Congress. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, let's take a look now at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. On this Friday afternoon, the last trading day of the month of January, nearby March contract for the soft red winter wheat at $5.55¾, up 2¼ cents for the day. July futures at $5.61½. Up a penny and three quarters. Corn pit finished a half cent higher in the nearby March, that at $4.34. The May futures at $4.39½ were unchanged on the day. And the July contract at $4.44½, up a half. December contract in the corn pit at $4.50 even, a settlement price down a quarter. The March at $4.59¼ for next year, down three quarters. March soybeans at $12.82¾, up 7¾. The May at $12.69, finished 8 cents higher on the afternoon. July at $12.52, up six. And August at $12.10½, up a nickel. November beans at $11.04½, up 7¼. March bean meal at $4.26.10, 90 cents higher. March bean oil at $37.64 on this last trading day, up 57 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the Mercantile Exchange February contract at 141, up 67½ cents at 47½ lower. April at 140.42½, down a dime. March feeders at 169.42½, 72½ cents higher. And the April futures there at 169.67½, up 57½ cents. Lean hogs February contract down 15 cents at $86.22½, and the April at $94.80. $1.17½ higher. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's check out what's been happening in the outside markets at this time. Crude oil futures March contract, $97.45 a barrel, down 78 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at 262.7. That's down 3½ cents. In ethanol futures at $1.88½, 0.6 cents lower. The difference between the two are the spread. Now at 74.2 cents wide, that's 2.9 cents narrower than it ended yesterday afternoon. Natural gas at $4.90 even, 11.1 cents lower. And the diesel fuel, or the New York Harbor Ultra Low Sulfur Diesel, at 327.9. That's up 6 2 cents, 0.2 cents. Gold futures $1,239.80, down $2.60. Hey, don't forget that Commodity Week now airs live immediately following our program, the Closing Market Report, on our home station right here at WILL AM 580. Our panelists today in studio will include, or on the phone lines, that is, Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watsika, Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities and Normal, and Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Our guest today, Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group in Chicago, Illinois. It's Commodity Week right after this program starts at 2:36 p.m. Central Time today. And, of course, you can hear it tomorrow morning as well on our home station, or visit us at willag.org. That's willag.org. By the way, there you'll find a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's a good one. You can do that over on the right-hand side of the page. You can also find the phone number, and I'll give it to you, 217-333-7300, to purchase your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. If you have not done that yet, probably a good day to do it, 217-333-7300. The All-Day Ag Outlook is Tuesday, March the 4th.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Now you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 31st day of January 2014. On the phone line with us to take a look at the commodity markets, Mike Zuzulo, as always, on a Friday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it kind of looks like we're going to have kind of rough sailing this weekend and then next week, too, in the weather forecast here. I suppose sometimes that provides a little lift to the marketplace, at least in the cash side, but maybe more importantly today, we have finished up the month. How did the market do for January?
Not too good in the wheat. For the month of the January, we lost 50 cents or thereabouts 50 cents in Chicago soft red wheat, Todd. But it's interesting because I also saw that the cash wheat at the Gulf for the soft red was now at $1.05 over the March futures, and that was the best basis in a month. And so I think, generally speaking, for corn and wheat, the month of January was the same story, different month, and that is the cash market continued to firm, demand continued to firm, but the futures market and the futures sentiment continued to wane, and the fund market continued to push money out of commodity funds. Bank of America came out with their latest week ending Wednesday, and emerging market stock funds down $6.4 billion. Biggest since August 11. Commodity funds worldwide lost about $1.3 billion in the latest week. That's the biggest drop in outflow in about 5 weeks. And so I think this disparity of the funds versus the fundamentals continues, and most notably in the wheat market.
When it fixes itself, does that mean you'll be looking for a bottom soon in the wheat market?
You know, it's interesting because the what we just talked about, the inflation-deflation mindset, and I think the emerging markets have been hit and the commodity funds have been hit so hard because the market's still in a deflationary mindset. So the inflation-deflationary debate that you and I have talked about a lot, and then the drought monitor and how much precipitation we get over the next 45 days, those things continue to increasingly point to a big low, or a substantial low at least, as we get into the springtime, that we factor in as big a crop as far as 14 corn acres and 14 yield and 14 bean acres and 14 yield. We get up there and figure in as much of a crop supply as we possibly can as we get towards that March 30th acreage and stocks report. And I think we're already heading into that direction with the baseline projections coming up in here in about 15 to 18 days. And so we start Monday with the figuring of the average base price for crop insurance, and we have the monthly supply-demand report, and then we go into the baseline projections and the outlook meeting by USDA on the 20th and 21st, and then we finish with the acreage report on the end of the month, stocks report at the end of the month. These things all suggest to me that the new crop market continues to push the old crop down, with the idea that, yes, demand's improving in corn and wheat, but we've still got big, big supplies coming on board in new crop.
Well, yes, I wondered about that. Right now, when you look at the soft red winter wheat crop in the United States, the hard red winter wheat crop, one of two things has happened. Either they're worried a little bit about the cold temperatures and lack of snowfall, or in combination with the lack of snowfall, lack of precipitation in the drier areas to the west of us, that would mean a limited size of the crop. But on the global marketplace, what do the stocks look like for the new crop in terms of other places in the northern hemisphere that have a wheat crop that would come on? I'm thinking Ukraine, China, other places, France, that might have a crop that you could look at.
Yeah, no major issues right now, and I think this is the key. We don't have any major issues right now in those other areas that we know about. There are minor issues, I think, in just about every one of those areas, whether it's Russia and the Ukraine, Britain having too much flooding, China getting some inclement weather about 3 weeks ago, but nothing that the market thinks is substantial or enough to put risk premium into the market. And I think this is where the 1996-2006 model year for corn and wheat continues to play a role in my analysis, because it suggests that we're taking risk premium out of the new crop prices, letting old crop be pulled down with the new crop. And then if we would happen to have less than perfect or less than ideal weather, the trade may have to come back and reevaluate that. Why? Because the demand is really staying strong, especially in the corn. I mean, we're talking about 80% better than last year in terms of export commitments for corn, 38% better in wheat, but yet we don't want to really carry much new crop weather risk premium because of this demand, because we don't see any problems lying ahead. And again, going back to the acreage issue and what we may see in terms of bigger acres with CRP and some of the other things.
Turn your attention to the corn market, and we'll back into it through the cattle numbers that were released at 2 o'clock Central Time. What did you see in that report this afternoon?
It met expectations that we are dealing with numbers not seen since 1949 and 1951. And as far as the calf crop, it's the smallest since 1949 at 33.7 million head. Excuse me, Jan 1 cattle and calf inventory at 82.1 million head, lowest since 1951. And so you add this to the PED virus and you add this to the avian flu issue, and you do have a feed demand issue that you have to keep your eyes on. We could increase weights to offset some of these lower numbers. I think that's highly likely given the retail prices and given what the producers are able to get from the packers if consumption stays strong. But we still have to watch the feed consumption side, because we do have a number of issues that would say it's going to be hard to increase the consumption. I've even heard today that some of the chick placements and poultry placements are getting impacted by the tight supplies of propane. So these issues will play a role in the springtime and certainly limit the increase in the feed and residual.
And the cattle numbers, they finished higher for the week, but they were off their highs on the week. Do we have another leg up now?
I think that's probably the case. We had a bearish cattle on feed report last week, and the market threw that away and started off weaker, but then ended very, very strong in the second part of the week. I think your cattle and your hogs are working together now to support each other, and that goes back to the beef price and what packers are willing to pay off, tighter hog numbers. Those things are all adding to the idea that if the stock market doesn't break hard, then we probably do have another try to get up and try and make a double top. But I think you're at that zone. The swing objective for me in the live cattle with clients last week was around that 145, 146 level. We could go to 148 and maybe even stretch it to 150, but I don't think it's worth the risk to take and let $3 to $5 get in the way of locking in really good profit, especially with these corn prices where they're at.
For the month, nearby March corn was up 12, but December corn on the month down a quarter of a cent.
Yeah, and this is the theme all week long and all month long when it came to the corn, the beans, and the wheat. We had July wheat down 16, almost 17 cents, while March was only down a dime. New crop beans down 4 today, 4 and a quarter, while the March was only down a penny. This theme of the new crop being able to pull down the old crop, even with strong demand, I think is running through all of the commodities and the grains right now, but most notably in corn and wheat.
Anything on the soybeans?
I think the big thing about the soybeans is the bull spread did give way to a negative close. We were at 152, breaking above 150 in the July Nov bean spread. We closed at 147. That is not a good close, and I think if you don't feed the bull and you start to hear more cancellations by China, the trade probably won't like that in the front-end prices. So be very cautious if you're holding old crop beans here.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzalo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, who is widely expected to be soon the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, reportedly is not overly enthusiastic about free trade agreements. This is important because the Finance Committee has jurisdiction over the nation's trade and tax policies, and two major trade agreement negotiations currently are underway, agreements that must first pass through the Senate Finance Committee. Wyden says he will not back legislation proposed by current Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus, and that the bill needs to be rewritten. Baucus has been nominated to become U.S. ambassador to China and is virtually guaranteed to gain Senate confirmation of his appointment in relatively short order. Tyson Foods Incorporated said its earnings climbed 47%, led by sales growth in its prepared foods business. For the period ending December 28th, Tyson Foods reported a profit of $254 million, or 72 cents a share, up from $173 million, or 48 cents a share a year ago. The chicken processor said it expects overall domestic protein production, which includes chicken, beef, pork, and turkey, to increase about 1% in the current fiscal year. The company has focused on growing operations in China, improving prepared food sales through acquisitions, and launching new products. Tyson Foods is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to build its own farms in China instead of buying chickens from independent farmers to address food safety issues in the fast-growing market. A farmer and a former elevator manager were sentenced to prison for committing fraud tied to a failed McLean County elevator. That, according to the Associated Press. In June, Robert Prince, a Fairbury farmer, and Timothy Borma of Lincoln, a former elevator manager, had pleaded guilty to wire fraud involving Towanda Grain Company. Prince was sentenced to 10 years and 1 month and ordered to pay $7 million. Borma was sentenced to 6 years and ordered to pay $6.7 million. Federal prosecutors claim the two men worked together to defraud the elevator, Prince's creditors, and others. In May of 2010, the Illinois Department of Agriculture suspended the grain dealer and grain warehouse licenses of Towanda Grain Company after learning of financial irregularities from the failed cooperative's board of directors. The elevator was purchased and reopened by Bloomington-based Evergreen FS Incorporated. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, inviting you to a series of events, including our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. That's scheduled for the fourth day of March, a Tuesday, the first one in the month of March, over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, to come along with us for our John Deere bus trip. That's the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. We'll go to Moline and to Waterloo, where we'll see the harvesters or the combines being made and then the tractors being made. We'll be at the headquarters and the museum and the pavilion, all kinds of places. All the details are on our website at willag.org. For both of those, you can call this number, 217-333-7300. Just $30 for the all-day Ag Outlook meeting, and you get our 25th anniversary Ag hat for that price, along with the whole day of the meeting, including continental breakfast and your lunch. That's over at the Beef House, the 7300 number good. Also for the John Deere bus trip, that's 217-333-7300. Kind of need to know if you're going to go by the time we get to the 9th day of February. That's our no-go-go date. So if you're going to go, make sure you get signed up. Right now, you can find all the details on all of our events at willag.org, including the schedule of our marketing panels. There's a whole series of those scheduled over the next month, too. Over on the right-hand side of the page, just hit the Ag Outlook schedule.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now up next, the U.S. Senate is expected to take up and pass a farm bill next week. This, of course, follows the passage of the compromise measure by the House of Representatives this week. I'll have more on the bill and its prospects for becoming law. The very first provision in the 2014 version of the Farm Bill, as passed by the House, eliminates direct payments to farmers. It's a $19 billion cut. Here's a quick rundown of the legislation spending. It's a $950 billion expenditure to be spread out over 10 years. About 79% of the bill deals with food stamps and nutrition programs, or SNAP, or $756 billion. That's $8 billion less than the current law, or a 1% cut. Crop insurance and commodity programs total about $134 billion over the 10 years, or roughly 14% of the budget. The changes in these two programs, combined with the elimination of the direct payments, represents a farmer-targeted cut of about 4.5%. Again, food and feeding programs were cut by 1%, and the three farmer-targeted programs were cut by 4.5%. Farm policy specialist Jonathan Kappas at the University of Illinois says if the farm bill becomes law, farmers will have plenty to consider while they're planting the spring crops.
And that's going to be another challenge out on the ground as we go through planting season and the implementation process. Then farmers, when they look to sign up for the program, it's not just going to be some of the sign-ups you've seen in the past. It's going to have to involve making some elections between programs, particularly between the price loss coverage program, which is much like your traditional counter-cyclical program, and you'll be choosing between that and a revenue program, the Agriculture Risk Coverage Program, ARC, which is revenue-based. And if you select that, you actually then have a second. If you elect that program, you have a second choice, a selection between county-level coverage and individual farm-level coverage. And so there's quite a few details, quite a few things to be worked out and understood as farmers, landowners, as they go through the process with their lender and everybody that gets involved in those sort of decisions. There's going to be some work to do on that.
Work, Kappa says he and his colleagues will be doing at the University of Illinois, too. They'll try to provide farmers and landowners guidance. Here's the very simple version. ARC, or the revenue program, is similar to ACRE, a program farmers have already been using. PLC, or the price loss coverage program, offers protection if the marketing year average prices are below new reference points. These are $3.70 for corn, $5.50 for wheat, and $8.40 for soybeans. Farmers and landowners will make an irrevocable choice between these two programs. There's a supplemental coverage option for crop insurance, too. It will not be available to those signing up for ARC. However, all of this is still up for some discussion because the Senate, as of Friday, January the 31st, hasn't yet voted on the legislation, and consequently the president has not signed it into law. Farm policy specialist Kappas is confident the bill will be ably guided by Senator Debbie Stabenow through the Senate.
Our optimism is even higher in the Senate. After passing it twice and knowing the chairwoman who will be working very, very hard to get this through, I think those votes are in pretty good shape. And at that point, I think I'm confident that the president will sign it. And we'll see a farm bill, and we'll see 5 years of this. And probably in no short time, start talking about the next one.
You may read more on the 2014 Farm Bill on the Farm Doc Daily website. The address is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Ben Pruce from the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility on the phone line to take up the cash grain market there. Let's start with your bids for the day, Ben. What do you have? Do you know?
Yeah, hey, we're 424 cash corn and 1247 cash beans here, Tom.
And you expect basis will hang in there strong?
No, sir. We out here, our basis is falling apart here almost by the day.
How far down under are you?
We, here at our elevators, we're posted at 10 under, probably needs to be closer to 13 under. And yours just, last rally here at, a lot of our local ethanol plants are out for Feb and March, looking at, April, May time frame already.
Thank you so much. I don't have more time for you. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
Ben Pruce is in Everly, Iowa at the Andersons. We'll be back in just 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
It's National Brandy Alexander Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1893, the Coca-Cola trademark was recorded. 2 years later, it was sold in every state and territory in the U.S. In 1908, Carl von Voigt died, a German physiologist. His work on metabolism helped establish modern nutritional science. Von Voigt made the first determination of the amount of fat, protein, and carbohydrate broken down by the body, as well as founded the study on metabolic activity as a guide to disease. In 1930, Scotch tape was developed by Richard Drew of the 3M Company. In 1980, due to record high sugar prices, Coca-Cola began substituting high fructose corn syrup for half of the sucrose used in Coca-Cola. In 1990, the first McDonald's restaurant in Moscow, Russia was opened after 13 years of negotiations and an investment of $50 million. McDonald's built an entirely independent Russian organization with its own farms to supply potatoes for its French fries. In 1991, the average U.S. food prices were these. White bread was 71 cents. Grade A large eggs were $1.10 a dozen. Milk sold for $2.76 per gallon. Chicken was 89 cents a pound. And ground beef was $1.65 a pound. And in 2001, Germany announced plans to destroy 400,000 cattle due to mad cow disease. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This program, of course, is a production of the University of Illinois. Here, the way the numbers changed on the weekly trade, the March contract from Friday to Friday in the corn pit was up 4.5 cents at $4.34, the high at 434 and three quarters, the low at 427. The monthly posted a hook up 12 cents higher. December contract at $4.50, up 0.5 cent in the new crop, but down 0.25 cent for the month. Soybeans at $12.93 on their top, the bottom for the week at $12.60. A settlement price down 2 cents Friday to Friday on the change at $12.82 and three quarters, down 9 3/4 for the month. November beans at $11.45, finished 4 3/4 lower for the week, down 30 0.5 cents on the month. And bean meal at $4.26.10 was up 40 cents for the week, $9.10 for the month. March bean oil down $1.49 for the month and up a dime for the week at $37.64. Soft red winter wheat finished the March contract at $5.55 3/4, down 9.5 cents for the week, 49.5 for the month. July futures at $5.61 1/2 were down 15.5 for the week, and the change for the month down 55.25. April live cattle finished at $140.42 1/2, up 32.5 on the week and $5.12 1/2 for the month. March feeder cattle settled $169.42 1/2 for the week, up 55 cents and $2.02 1/2 for the month. And the lean hogs finished the April contract at $94.80, 77.5 cents higher for the week, and posted an outside up month at $4.12 1/2 higher. Now here's the weather forecast with meteorologist Ed Kieser.
This week, one South American weather problem was alleviated while another one appears to be unfolding. Last week, we mentioned an increased chance of showers and thunderstorms in Argentina starting the middle of this week, and that has happened. The spell of hot and dry weather, prevalent through the middle of January, is over. And the forecast calls for frequent bouts of rain in the coming 10 days. In fact, flooding may become an issue in a few areas across northern and central Argentina. While the rain is coming late for some corn, it is coming in time to help soybeans and other late planted crops. The bottom line is the deterioration due to hot and dry weather has ended in Argentina. The wet weather pattern will also benefit far southern Brazil, namely Rio Grande do Sul and Santa Catarina, and neighboring Paraguay. But farther north, hot and dry weather is likely to be taking center stage in terms of South American weather. An unusually large and strong ridge of high pressure is building into center west and southeast Brazil and is expected to remain through at least the first 10 days of February. That will lead to a long stretch of unseasonably hot and dry weather. Initially, dryness will benefit maturing early planted crops and planting of second season corn. But this pattern will stress any crops now in the vegetative and reproductive stages and all newly planted second season crops. States most impacted will be Goiás, Minas Gerais, Bahia, and Sao Paulo, Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, and Paraná will also likely be drier than desired, but are close enough to the edge of the high-pressure ridge to occasionally receive showers and thunderstorms. It will be essential for rain to materialize over this area by mid-February, or second-season crop losses could be large. Dryness in Brazil will become the South American focus until rain arrives.
Our thanks to meteorologist Ed Kieser. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been Illinois Public Media.